Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 246, episode 3 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Wednesday, July 20th, 2022, which of course means it is...
It's wild. I'm just gonna... If you're a fan of the following five things, it's your day, because it's National Fortune Cookie, Lollipop, Moon, Pennsylvania, and a hot dog day. So,
okay,
if you celebrate one of those things, it's good for you. Lizzie gang, rise up.
We just talked, spent a lot of time talking about hot dogs on yesterday's episode.
I know.
And
it's Lizzie day today.
It is. Hot dogs are having a moment. You know, Jamie Loftus looked at her Zeitgeist machine and figured out that we were going to be having a hot dog summer and started covering hot dogs about a year ago. Now here we are.
I mean, we could talk about the moon landing, which happened, I guess, on July 20th. But this isn't a conspiracy theory show.
It's kind of a big day. Just give the moon a day, feels like.
But it's like overlapping with pretty big things. It's not like it's National Moon Day, like National like Plastic Coated Paperclip Day. You know,
well, that's why, like, I'm wondering when they're making the decision of, like, what day to take. Why would you take National Moon Day?
How would you know? Okay, if you had to rank these in importance to you, fortune cookie, lollipop, moon, Pennsylvania, and hot dog, what's number one of all five for you?
Number
personally?
One would probably be Pennsylvania, because that is where my extended family comes from, and okay, also my wife.
Oh, yeah, right.
Different sides of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Then probably the moon, just a big fan overall.
Okay.
It's general aura. And then the rest I could kind of take or leave.
The mishmash. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I like lollipops, you know.
I know.
I'm a simple man. I like simple pleasures, like butter in my ass and lollipops in my mouth, to quote one of the great lines from Boogie Nights. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm 10% crack, 20% sass, 15% concentrated baja of blast, 50% peanut, 5% shame, and 100% master of the zeitgeist game. That is courtesy of Johnny Davis, to remember the name, what a song. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Tuna's got some turtle. Tuna's got some turtle.
Okay, shout out to Ruthie Fudge, who says, look, I reckon the quote that came along with the AKA said, I recognize the transphobic nature of the song. However, as a trans NB dude who constantly gets misgendered as she, I like it. And yes, but we're talking about the Subway tuna, how in those nets, the reason why it's not coming up all tuna is they said there's sharks and turtles and shit in there.
Sharks and turtles.
Yeah,
of course. And boots. I got to imagine, based on cartoons, fishing expeditions.
In a tin can with the lid
open. Yeah, boots and tin cans.
And have a toilet.
And definitely a tire. We need to start DNA testing in the tuna, not for tuna, but for turtles, tin cans, boots, and tires. We are thrilled, Miles, to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian, actor, and writer who you've seen all over your TV,
everywhere,
including Curb, the latest season of Russian Doll. It's the hilarious, the talented Danielle Perez!
Danielle!
Hey, hey, hey!
Welcome, welcome.
What's up?
Thanks How for are having you? Me. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
Doing great.
Suddenly I'm hearing a lot of... Is it a hair
literally,
hand dryer?
As soon as you introduce me, the neighbor's like gardener starts blowing leaves.
Yeah,
truly,
cue,
like
baby.
As soon as you enter.
I thought that was like you just like adding. That was like your backing track. Your
My own Foley and SFX.
Right.
How are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm great. I'm having a moon summer with Hot Dog Rising.
Oh,
nice.
Shit. Okay. Love to hear that. Okay. I'm a Hot Dog Rising. Are you, you got a specific hot dog you're into? Do you actually fuck
LA, dirty dogs.
Yeah,
dogs.
Yeah, off the street.
Okay, that bacon wrapped.
Bacon wrapped.
Sauteed jalapeno and onions.
Yeah. Mayonnaise too. Gotta have mayonnaise.
I don't. I really have a hard time with mayonnaise.
I say bring it all. I say con todo.
Mustard.
Por favor.
You say con todo. I'm like, sin mayonesa. Por favor, sin mayonesa.
They look at me, I'm like, ma mayonesa, por favor. They're like, oh shit. They're like, you having a bad day, huh?
Right?
I'm like, just give me the fucking bottle. But
wait,
funny.
Mayonnaise goes on the dog before grill it, or
it's a topping.
The condiment.
It's ketchup, mustard, mayo.
Yeah, they got
it. Wow.
It's wild how like I, as a native Angelino, like leaving any function in downtown LA, it's like when people say, I always have room for dessert. I'm like, I will always have room for like a danger dog. Like, I don't give a shit if I just ate.
I will literally ask strangers for cash to buy a dirty dog straight up.
Yeah.
You're drunk. You're leaving the club, stumbling out of the club. In my case, getting rolled out the club.
Always my favorite. Just like, I feel like one of those like old, like Looney Tunes commercials where I'm being like lifted by my nose by the scent.
The smell, the waft of it is carrying you to home and salvation.
Yeah. I just had one the other day when I went to an LAFC game because I was like, they're here. Yeah. Fuck it.
I miss a dirty dog. I miss a street dog. You got to be outside.
Is it a dog?
Yeah, it's a hot dog.
Is it a dog in the middle, or it always looks so plump because of the bacon wrapping, I guess. But it's
I'm like, have you never had one?
I know, Jack.
I have,
hold on, man.
But
we have to pull your LA card.
It looks
quick.
Kielbasa sized. Like it's massive.
Oh, because it's a thicker frame versus.
Because it's a thicker frame, I think, based on the wrapping.
It ain't no Oscar Mayer.
You're really observant about the thickness of things.
We were just talking about Embiid being a thick boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way you said it, you're like, he's a.
He is. Well, because, all right, so there's a video going viral. Like, there was a video going viral where he was, like, part of the circle lifting up a groom at a wedding. And then a follow-up video, the one that probably, I guess the previous video was, like, a teaser. The main event was a video of him being lifted with, I think people were speculating it was the bride or one of the...
Based on the dress?
Yeah, but it was clearly not the bride. It was the mother of the bride, we think, on Embiid's lap as he is being lifted. And I was just commenting, thick boy. He's a very thick boy.
Thick boy, happy boy.
Yeah. Watching a lot of 76ers basketball, I have seen many people get hurt just running into him. I've seen him get hurt when the full weight of his body is moving in one direction and his face hits something that will usually break his face. And then we, of course, have his toes. He's got Shaq toes, which there's a reason that big men like that have those toes, is because when you jump stop and you weigh over 315 pounds, it does bad things to the front of your feet.
Yeah.
Wait, so, what's up with his toes?
Just imagine, like,
it's hard for me to imagine because I don't have toes. It's you know what I mean? So I'm like, it's been a long time since I've lived that foot life.
He's throwing up gang signs with the feet.
Oh, no, they're fucked up.
Like, yeah, like they look structurally like Jack is saying, like, you weigh 300 pounds and you're constantly like, they're bearing the brunt of
gravity. Oh, my God. At this point, they're just for show.
Yeah,
they're just for balance. That's it. They don't do much else. Can't even put my toe rings on anymore.
For someone with like the greatest footwork in the league, for like a 7'1" dude, like his feet are a true mess.
Wow.
Nothing like Shaq though. Shaq's got the
now wildest. I'm gonna Google Shaq's toes, dying to know what they look like. No. Is Shaq on WikiFeet? Because you know all the girls in LA comedy are on WikiFeet.
I can't imagine. What if he had a high score on WikiFeet? Hold on, we gotta see a Shaq on WikiFeet.
All right. I am just going to, we're going to take a moment here. I'm going to put in the chat the side-by-side of Embiid and Shaq's toes. And they're, you know, Embiid's actually don't look as bad.
Oh, okay. Is Shaq on the right?
Shaq is on the right.
And his don't look as bad as Shaq. Shaq's look, I mean, some real Krog Magnum shit's happening over there.
Yeah. Oof. For sure.
Oof.
I mean.
He's got the Fred Flintstones.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's got toes, curled under toes, his pinky toe, both of their pinky toes.
It's like they retract in a way where the pinky toe goes back into the foot.
Well, right, like Wolverine's claw.
So they've pushed over. They've pushed over. If you count, the pinky toe is where the rest of our like big or second to last toe is. And then there's just like an empty spot on the foot because of just the amount of the toes being. Yeah, they just basically walk around with broken feet all the time. Yeah. And people are like, you're a baby.
Why you walk like that? They're like, motherfucker, my feet can't even handle the shit.
You hear Stephen A. Smith is taking a month off for shoulder surgery? This fool who is constantly ripping on people for like not wanting it enough. He's taking a month off from his job of yelling nonsense for shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Wait, is he a podcast host too?
He's basically a podcast host, except
with a TV show and much more money.
Mm.
So, like a podcast.
And his shoulder hurts from adjusting the mic.
Right, exactly, apparently. All right, well, Danielle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the mudslinging already starting early for the 2024 election with rumors that Biden's on drugs. No, Trump is on drugs. I mean, Trump is definitely on drugs, but that is one of the things being mentioned as we head down a dark path towards a rematch of Biden versus Trump that hopefully will not happen. We're going to talk about Herschel Walker. We're going to talk about Instagram and TikTok's beneficial, just all the benefits that they relay on your mental health. All of that, plenty more. But first, Danielle, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, something from my search history this week. I Googled, can you snort antiviral medication?
Just crush it up? Do a couple lines?
Well, not crush it up because it's in the capsule. So you would just like break it open. So it's already powdered. So I just wanted to know if that was bad.
When they're in the capsule, they're basically asking you to do that.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I have done in my, you know.
Where are we going with this? In my
darker days, I have opened up a capsule, snorted, and just like been unable to use my nose for a good like 48 hours, just sneezing, having like water pouring out of my eyes. It's bad. It's not every drug is created equal when it comes to that. And also it's bad and you shouldn't do it. But
I remember I got in trouble in fifth grade for snorting a pixie stick on Halloween.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that's so funny. They were like, this is drug. This is a gateway drug, these pixie stick snorting behavior.
I don't know where what TV we were watching where we knew, like, we took a broken ruler and we're chopping up lines of pixie sticks. I remember me and my other homie DJ, and the teacher's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? We're like, nothing. We're like,
you guys had just seen Scarface and you were like,
right, exactly.
Bringing a stuffed tiger with you to school.
Right, exactly. I got a headband on. I'm like, Ravenga! Anyway, so.
Is there a drug that's recommended usage is to be snorted? I feel like no, right?
Oh, no, there's the fentanyl nasal spray, straight up.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah, that's like, I literally just finished watching the like HBO documentary about like the opioid crisis and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And in the second episode, they talk about like.
Oh, Narcan, right? Or.
No, not Narcan, like, is the fentanyl thing that like brings
that can
you back.
Be taken nasally, like.
But they basically, like, this drug company created this fentanyl nose spray that wanted to make money off of it, and it was only approved for cancer patients. So they like went really hard and did a bunch of illegal shit, and basically like bribed doctors to prescribe it for just whatever to get people on.
Can't
fentanyl.
Imagine there are any dosing issues with something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Oof.
People also get addicted to Sudafed. I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, okay. I know people who got that, like that Nafrin or whatever the fuck that one nasal decongesting spray was, or people fully were
people
like,
who neti pot stay neti potting. And it's like, you can't tell me that's making it better. I feel like you're making it worse. Once you start neti potting, you don't stop. Feels like an addiction. Neti feels like addictive gang, behavior.
That's true. Neti potting does seem like, like it seems like
we got neti potters in the-
at a certain point.
In the chat, Becca Ramos is team neti pot. I feel like the people I know who went to neti pot were the ones who were like hooked on Afrin or whatever the over-the-counter shit was. And they said, no, nah, I got to get right on some other shit. But anyway.
But there's no going back. Once you break that seal, you're kind of in. You're in for life. That's
think
how they
maybe,
get you.
Maybe, and I'm also maybe just blessed to know I know nothing of a world where like my sinuses are constantly bothering me. Like
right. That. Yeah.
I'm like, easy, what do you mean? That's not a real thing.
Hashtag
that
blessed. Right.
Hashtag be blessed. Hashtag be blessed cannot be stressed.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. Right now, I think, Jeremy Allen White in The Bear. I am seeing love, but I'm not seeing enough love. He is so fine in that show. He is such a scumbag looking, grimy, dirty. Chef boy, I want him so bad. I just want to say yes, chef, to him all night long.
we chef. Was he? He was in Shameless, right?
Yeah, he was in. Now I want to watch Shameless. I've only seen like a few episodes of it.
Got you. So
but now he's got me wanting to straight up watch a whole. How many seasons was that? 7, 8, 9?
It was on for like 10 years. So yeah. It was plenty.
I think at least, we're in the double digits for Shameless.
What is it about him? Is that kind of like your dating vibe? Like you kind of like a scum lord?
It's
vibe?
A very, goblin. Yeah, scum goblin. Yeah, like it really reminds me of like, because I went to San Francisco State for college and it definitely reminds me of being in San Francisco and fucking around with like these dirty, you know, back of the house boys.
Yeah, dudes who live in a co-op in Berkeley and shit.
Oh my God. Just like my friend dated chefs. Like I always was like hanging out in like the back of kitchens and. Yeah.
Oh, so the kitchen. Oh, so it's the culinary vibe specifically.
The culinary vibe. It's like these dudes are obsessed with fine dining, but they eat like shit. And
right.
Everyone's doing coke. And, you know, do you have sheets? No.
I got this apron.
But you're going to like talk to me about like the vintage of this wine. The priorities are fucked.
All right, let's see if you can work snorting into your overrated as well, because you're 2 for 2 so far. We got the snorting, the antivirals, we got the coke lines of coke with the back of the house boys. What is something you think is overrated?
What's overrated? You know what's overrated? Doing drugs.
Yes.
Doing drugs is overrated. I just hate hangovers now. Literally, the thing that keeps me from doing drugs is like, I don't want to be hungover tomorrow.
Yeah.
What kind of drugs are you doing? What does that mean? Wait, more than drinking? like a drinking hangover, like then like, you know, I won't say what's up, like maybe things that are, you know, fucking up your serotonin levels and shit. And then the next day you're like, ugh.
Yeah, no, well, because all of them mess up, you know, fuck with your serotonin, you know,
they're all,
you know, messing with the chemicals in your brain.
Hey, that's why, you know, it's just like a little bit of psilocybin goes a long way. But, you know, that's another podcast we're doing.
Okay.
I get the thing with the hangovers because my body cannot process alcohol the same way it does.
Even
alcohol.
It's crazy.
Like, and it's weird. Like, I have a thing where for me to even get to the point where I'm like feeling buzzed, like it typically, like I realize like three drinks too late that I'm like, oh, you've had enough to drink because like
you're good. You're done.
Yeah. And then the next day, like I remember like the days when I would like sleep 4 hours, stink like a broken handle of vodka, and then roll into my like Dodge car dealership job, like with sunglasses on, and managed to work like 10 hours. Like it was nothing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Working retail. Literally, I worked Black Friday at Banana Republic the day after Thanksgiving. Right. I woke up so I'm sure I was still drunk from the night before. I showed up like 3 hours late. My boss was so mad, but like couldn't do anything about it because the store was packed with people. she was like, just do something, like pick up clothes and help.
Right.
And all day, like at work, like every now and then I'd get like a whiff of vomit and I was like, where is that coming from?
When it was just inside of you.
Home, it was like on a specific part of my top.
Oh, you know what I mean?
It wasn't like prominent, but it was there and present. Where it was like not all the time, but every so often I'd get just the right, you know, distance from it. So yeah, I used to be able to do that, be fine. You know?
Not now.
Yeah,
like I can't even watch The Rock hungover on TNT like I used to. Like, I can't even, that doesn't even work for me anymore.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough. I haven't drank in 7 years coming up on 7 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. But prior to that, first of all, my intake of TNT and just like also television commercials has gone plummeted way down.
Because so like now I'm never. Relationship.
You're like, no characters welcome.
I'm never so hungover that I can't just press the fast forward button, you know? But prior to that, I feel like I know what terminal illness feels like, some of the hangovers that I've oof, you know, gone through.
Yeah.
Just the worst feeling. Just
yeah, like death, being death, so hungover death. That you can't even enjoy an episode of Law & Order SVU, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in a dark place.
Like where you're anticipating like the clong clong sound because you're like,
and it hurts you physically.
Sick. Yeah, like it's going to make me sick when I hear it this time. Clong clong. You're like, oh, no, not that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. Drugs are right. Good one. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back and we'll talk about drugs because that's become an area of focus among other things with the, you know, the two candidates we might be facing. Biden is on drugs, maybe. Not the right kind.
Not the uppers.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And, Trump is definitely on drugs, but they seem to be, I don't know, working for him. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so we know now Trump's running, like, even though it might not be Facebook official yet, but
we've known since like the January 6th.
Basically, that was his campaign launch.
Yeah, exactly. We knew since the fucking November when he lost the election. I'm like, well, he's got to run it back, because the whole point he was in office was to protect himself from like criminal liability. And I just wanted that Rolling Stone points out before we get into all the drug talk is that how much Trump's been talking about, man, he's got to get back into office. Because he says Trump has, quote, spoken about how when you are the president of the United States, it is tough for politically motivated prosecutors to, quote, get you, says one of the sources who has discussed the issue with Trump this summer. Quote, he says when he is president, not if, again, a new Republican administration will put a stop to the Justice Department investigation that he views as the Biden administration working to hit him with criminal charges or even put him and his people in prison. So,
wow.
Good motivation, you know?
Yeah, well, when you're a celebrity, they just let you get away with it. They just let you do it.
And do whatever you want. Grab the president.
That's why he's probably confused. He's like, but I'm a celebrity. But he just just don't look away at all the bullshit that went down the last couple months.
This doesn't make sense to me, though, because I do feel like, I don't know, I guess nobody's ever going to forgive him and they'll be like chasing his ass till he's dead. But like, also, nobody, like when he's in office, everybody's just looking for every excuse to take his ass down. So it feels like a trade-off that he's maybe not doing the full math on when it comes to how much people fucking hate him and want him out of office.
It feels like he straight up like doesn't enjoy work, and it feels like this is so much work. So I guess like that's what I'm confused that he's running again, you know? I mean, I understand like having power, but this seems like way too much work than he's ever wanted to do in his entire life.
Right. And who knows? It may be like a end up like a Greek tragedy where like he entered like physically didn't have it in him to go on another campaign to like keep him out of jail. And then like it, you know, it ends up being not a good
he just
situation.
Melts.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like that. And
he just Icaruses himself. Blah, blah,
blah. And we're like, he also might have some notes on his first presidency about like how he would have done things differently when it comes to like seizing power and just going full, like taking over the FBI, CIA, all of that. And
I mean,
making
know,
it work for him.
The way, I think the way he sees it is he becomes president, he fucking curb stomps the DOJ into nothing. And then it's like, how are you going to, what court is going to do anything? I destroyed them all. So. Good luck with that, homie. And I think that's his logic. He's like, if I'm there, at least I feel like I'm at the top of this like tree and I can just like point fingers and make things happen, which he to an extent was doing that. So anyway, it's his potential get out of free while also throwing your enemies in jail for free card that I think he's after. And, you know, as like he gears up for the presidency, we talk about all the time, like what's going on with DeSantis, what's happening with like the right wing punditry machine. There are people like Maria Bartiromo who are going, they're going hard for Trump still. You know, like she's not faltering at all. She's riding with Trump and she's doing a great job, like saying that Trump is doing a great job while also doing her best job for Trump to like drag Biden's name through the mud. And I just want to play this clip where she had Dr. Ronnie, remember the guy who's, what was it like? He's like the Ambien angel. What was his nickname?
He was like Dr. Feelgood, right?
Dr. Feelgood, right.
In the Obama and Trump White House. But I think he gave people Adderall and Ambien. Those were like his two things.
Yeah, it's like long flight.
Wait, he prescribed them to like government officials?
He was handing them out like, hey, man, you need one? You good?
On Air
like,
Force One.
On like, Air Force One.
Obama.
Oh, he had a pill concierge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have a private plane, like, of course, have a pill concierge. Like, if you can't afford that.
My White House physician damn sure wouldn't be a medical doctor. It'll be like some scummy homie I know from the Valley.
It's the dude that shows up at Eric Andre's birthday parties and just pictures everyone's good.
Right. And I'm like, they're like, what's he? Why does he always have that Crown Royal bag with him? I'm like, yo, he got it all in there. I'm just telling you, that's the magic bag.
Anything you want.
Anything. Man, shit you didn't even know you needed. Okay, so let me play this clip where Maria Bartiromo is asking Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who's actually also a congressman at this point, like what his take is with Biden. What's going on with him?
Well, I mean, Congressman, there were signs that Joe Biden was declining during the 2020 campaign. I mean, let's face it. He stayed in the basement the whole time during the campaign. Mm-hmm. So who knew what when? Are they hiding this and feeding him drugs to allow him to function? I know he goes home to Delaware a lot more than any other president. So I guess
any
my question is, what did Obama know? What did Jill Biden know? And who's running the White House right now? And are they covering up for these mental issues?
So that's what she spent her time on.
Yo.
She did a bonus. Obama is still running the government just for good measure. But again, I think it really underscores like the projection that's happening between both sides. You're like, man, your candidate's fucking old. They're like, no, your motherfucking candidate's old. It's like, man, you're both fucking old.
She calls him basement baby. That's like what, you know, gossip columns used to call Solange before she found her own identity. Just, they said Biden just stayed up in the basement.
Right. Except he's not displaying half the talent Solange did when she emerged on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But it is... It is like just it's a wild thing that just continues, because meanwhile, Joe Rogan on his podcast, he had Tom Segura on, and he's like, Trump's a man, baby, blah, blah, blah. This guy, like, he's past it or whatever. And then Tom Segura's like, well, you know, like, he does like Adderall all the time. And he, and like, Joe Rogan's like, no. He's like, oh, yeah, dude. What? He's like, they say he's jacked on Adderall like all the time. He's like, I know some people who worked on The Apprentice. They say like it helps him read. That's why he does it, because he's really bad with prompters. So he gets on the Adderall and he can dial it in. And they're like, no fucking way. And so meanwhile, you have that going on in the Joe Rogan sphere where they're going like, yeah, this dude is just, he's smacked on Adderall all the time. It's nonstop at the moment. Everybody's on drugs.
They're referring to a video where Trump is giving a speech and a small white chunk of something comes rocketing out of his nostril. And they're like, see, that's definitely a chunk of crushed up Adderall. I'm like, it honestly could be anything.
Yeah.
But the thing, the detail that makes me think there's something to it is that he tracks it with his eye as it is falling to the ground as he's giving the speech. Like, he's like watching the thing shoot out of his nose. Like, so he's like aware of it.
Right.
And also like keyed up enough to like track a thing that just shot out of his nostril.
With like laser eyes. Like,
yeah. It's just like, yeah.
I should have gone to that video on loop. Must watch
it. And it's not a booger, you don't think?
I mean, it could be a booger.
Yeah,
it's just like he seems very laser focused on
I think,
it.
You know? I think the
crushed up booger, like, that's not just shooting out. That's like right. dangling yeah. and like causing yeah. like a.
That's you didn't chop
it
up
be
enough.
Some real dry boogerage
situation.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because I mean, I think the most compelling information is like those past accounts of him, like about how he doesn't drink, but they're like, but he liked those greenies the doctor would give him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, no, he's
yeah, no one behaves
Adderall.
Like he behaves and
right.
is not on some substance.
And it makes sense because, like, the Adderall and methamphetamine are fascist drugs. Like, they were invented by the Nazis and were, like, fueling the Nazis the whole time that they were rising up. And it all tracks.
The Nazis were on meth?
Oh, yeah.
This makes so much sense.
Hitler was a tweaker.
Okay, of course.
And, like, bugged out other fascists with his, like, tweaker talk. There's, like, an account of him talking Mussolini's ear off for
Mussolini.
Hours. And he's like, oh, my God, dude, what? I'm vibing with this, but not this many hours straight.
Mussolini is the Fiona Apple and, like... Where, you know, it's like Paul Thomas Anderson and Quentin Tarantino or Hitler. Right. And she's just like, I can't do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
I gotta cut this out.
Fuck it. I'm a socialist, man. I figured it out. I can't be around these people.
Like, I need to get my life right.
At least the socialists are smoking more weed or some shit. Damn.
Sorry. Just the other detail of that a lot of people don't realize is that one of the big reasons that the D-Day invasion succeeded is because Hitler was like asleep. For
crashing?
Until like noon, because and like everyone was like, oh, don't wake him up after like before he just likes to wake up on his own. So they like refused to wake him up as the fucking invasion was happening. And he like slept until the late morning, early afternoon.
Why is the Fuhrer up so late? We must tell the Fuhrer what's happening. He's like, you go. You want to wake him
at
up?
Your own res?
Well, what was he doing last night? Taking apart another motherfucking record player for fucking 8 hours straight and looking at old fucking Nickelodeon pornographic stop motion videos. So this is all happening under the against the backdrop of watching like other sort of right wing pundits kind of take sides. Now, some like Fox News is definitely they're in for Trump. Like most of their main people, they're not questioning anything, while others are being a little more cryptic about like who they like. They're like, yeah, you know, that like Trump could be interesting. There also seem to be other people, you know, and like for those, like there's definitely like the people like the Mike Cernoviches, who I'm not going to say is the mainstream, but, you know, clearly interacts with the mainstream. Like he's like, Trump's not fascist enough. And those people seem to like Ron DeSantis more because they think he has more longevity or something like that. But what's interesting is whenever they bring up like Trump and Ron DeSantis, it's like people talking about like Michael Jordan and Kobe, where they're like, yeah, yeah, MJ the GOAT. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, Kobe's in the conversation, too. Like, they're like, Ron DeSantis. No one's tearing down Ron DeSantis. Everyone says, yeah, I like Trump. But they also say, Ron DeSantis, he's got stuff too. He's got the goods too. So it's interesting how the DeSantis stuff gets louder. And in Florida, DeSantis is up 22 points over Trump in a hypothetical head-to-head. So people of Florida seem to be liking DeSantis more, but we'll see how the rest of the party falls in line.
I mean, the best case scenario is they both run in the primary. I do think, though, Trump is going to destroy him in the primary.
You think Trump would destroy him?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, DeSantis doesn't have like the same gift of gab.
Yeah. Right. And the base loves that. That's the thing. Like, Trump is a showman. It's a fucked up show. It's a dark carnival. But
yeah.
I mean, the best case scenario, though, is Trump is like falling apart the whole time because he's having his Hitler on D-Day morning invasion moment where he's like, you know, can't do it anymore because he's just been railing Adderall for too long.
Either way, have you guys seen the other two? Thing to watch.
I've only seen the first season.
Oh, you have to watch the second season. It's so good. So good. But
I know.
I know. There's a there's an epic meltdown, and I wish Trump had that. I wish that would just happen to him. Just truly fall apart at the seams.
Right. We'll see. I mean, like you said, he's like, life begins at 80. And I'm like, my man, it does not. But if you think you can go cross country in a pandemic where your base clearly doesn't give a fuck about it, by all means, man, roll the fucking dice. But yeah, it's all we can do is sit back and watch.
What's the latest with Herschel Walker? He's just still kind of stringing it along.
I'm going to play something for you. Okay, so the former Heisman winner, Herschel Walker, is running for Senate in Georgia against Raphael Warnock. It's a close race. They say, like, you know, Warnock has like a lead, but it's within the margin of error. So for all intents and purposes, they're tied. His campaign, Herschel Walker's, has been a nonstop tour day. What the fuck is this dude talking about? And he has regaled countless audiences and journalists with like nonstop fabrications. And I just before I get into the latest one, I just want to underline a few. The first, he said he owned like multiple chicken businesses, like processing facilities, he's in that poultry business.
Oh, that's very specific.
And it's like the largest minority owned chicken business, also the largest minority owned apparel company that he also owns that business. He'd been running that business. But people are like, yo, they did a cursory search. They're like, sir, you have nothing to do. Like, what do you mean? And he said, oh, I didn't mean it like that. When I said owned, I own these businesses. I didn't mean it like in a technical sense. Uh-huh. And people were like, oh, okay.
Oh, the other definition of ownership, the one where you don't actually own the property.
Were you dominated in a Call of Duty death match?
Pwned.
I pwned it. I'm not sure. Then he also said
minority pwned chicken facility.
Yeah, like minority pwned business. Then he said he owned. Then he said he graduated from the University of Georgia, where he was drafted into the league from. He didn't. And then when they pressed him, they're like, you didn't graduate from there. He's like, I never said I graduated from there. They're like, this is a tape of you saying you graduated from there. And he's like, fizzled out.
Alternative facts.
Right.
He's had a few children come out of the woodwork that the campaign was blindsided by. They're like, do you have other kids out of wedlock we don't know about? And apparently he's been lying so much to even his own campaign, they don't know what to do with anything he says anymore. This is from someone within his campaign. Quote, he's lied so much that we don't know what's true. We have zero trust in the candidate. And three people for this like Daily Beast article, they independently interviewed for like this story, called him a pathological liar. So I just want to bring
Like he's a great candidate then. He's primo set material.
Like all of this
pathological liar narcissist. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome,
This feels like the combine in like the NBA or something, where like somebody's like doing amazing like sprints or something. Like this is just great politician-ing, where you're just like lying, telling clear lies and just doing it with a straight face. It's like, oh, this person's got some talent.
Yeah, they're like, wow.
They might be a really promising politician.
The way he absolutely didn't flinch or give a fuck in the face of contradictory evidence, unbelievable. This guy's going number one in the draft. Yeah. I just want to play you this latest one. Someone dug up a clip of him from 2019 where he says, he was a killer FBI agent, but then Jesus saved it. Just listen to this.
I worked for the poor law enforcement. Y'all didn't know that either, did you? I spent time at Quantico at the FBI training schools. Y'all didn't know I was an agent. I probably shouldn't tell y'all that. Y'all don't care. But anyway, I've been in law enforcement. So I grabbed my gun. I said, I will kill him. Herschel Walker, one of the highest control, I'm going to kill him. I got in David, one of my many. I took off on 183. And I still remember the voice of Herschel. People been disrespecting you all the time. People are always doing stuff to you. You never done nothing to nobody. And all of a sudden, this other voice of Herschel, your parents and raised you. You're still here. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. I thought I was losing my mind. As I got closer and closer to where I was going to be meeting this guy, I started to pray. I said, Lord, I need some help right now. I said, I need you to help me. I said, I'm about to do something stupid right now. I need you to help me right now. I remember getting to this where I was going to meet him at. I got out of my car and I put my hand on my gun. As I was walking to this truck, before I could see the guy, I saw the sign on the back of his truck that said, Hunk, if you love Jesus. And that's what calmed me down.
All right. That was a nice story, right? All right.
Yeah, you know what? He has Uncle Baby Billy vibes.
Uncle Baby Billy.
I mean, none of this happened, okay? He has nothing to do with the FBI.
Honestly, riveting, though. I was in it. Right. I was in it till the end, and he tied it up in a bow.
Is a talented politician. That is what I have learned here today. He is going to be a president.
President of something.
Yeah.
We don't know of what, but president.
The largest minority-owned nation he will be the president of.
Oh, my God. His video where he's talking about the bad air and the good air that we keep making
China's bad air.
China be sending their bad air. What?
Or what did he say about how Jesus had like multiple personalities or something and was like killing people? He has so many wild things he says. But Jack, to your point, I'm like, yo, I haven't heard someone talk shit like this. It's like my grandpa and his friends, like that old black man swag where they go, yeah, you didn't know I was in the FBI, did you? See, I didn't tell you about that.
Just like, dropping facts.
That is some old head shit talking. Like, oh, I bet you didn't know this live. What that I'm about to say.
Commandeer you all night. Yeah, like,
let me put you on something. So I had my hand on my pistol and I say, Lord, don't make me take this coke dealer's life. And then he had a crucifix dangling from his rearview mirror. So I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to just buy this 8-ball with cash rather than robbing him. Like, what is going on with him? I don't know what is happening. And I like that he somehow hit like the trifecta of like mentioning he's a Heisman winner, that he's law enforcement, and also that he calls on Christ whenever he is in the mood to take a life.
That's
bingo,
he's
babe.
Compelling to watch. Yeah. He's nailing it.
So yeah, I mean the polls are, you know, they show Warnock leading, but my God.
This explains all the Warnock campaign messaging and donation requests I've been receiving. I'm like, what is going on? I thought we were good, Georgia.
Right.
We were okay.
I mean, people are definitely not all on board, but yeah, it's
close.
It's enough to make you sweat. Where people are like, yeah, I don't care that, you know, I like the idea of a senator also being working with the FBI. I really want a little more context. Like, why did he want to kill this dude?
He was going to kill someone because he was trained and he was in Quantico. He didn't tell you that. But anyways, you probably shouldn't be.
I was in Quantico. It was me, Priyanka Chopra, you know, the motherfuckers. I mean, Priyanka Chopra Jonas now. But yeah, we was all at Quantico. And like, that's a TV show, sir. Oh, but yeah, I was there.
I was confused for a second. I forgot about the show.
Oh, yeah.
And that's on me.
Sorry. That's a deep cut for all my Quantico fans out there. And
all the
ABC
Quantico
network
heads out there. They know that was for them.
For the real Q heads out there. You feel me?
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And we every once in a while, we like to check into the research that's being done on what social media does for us.
Mm-hmm.
And
to us.
To us. I'd say it's working for you if you can make it. That's what I always say about social media. It's working for you to take away your free will. But yeah. What's this latest study say?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the mainstream view or the view that we get a lot through, like just sort of headlines, is like the toxic beauty standards and unrealistic like appearance sort of like norms that are normalized.
I love it. I follow so many plastic surgeons on TikTok. It's just disgusting.
Just to
I'm like
kinda
yes, make these bitches look like aliens.
It does look like its own ethnicity, which is wild.
Straight
you know
up,
I mean?
They're creating a brand new race on TikTok with all these fillers.
No matter what your actual ethnicity is, like I can tell you from Planet Plastic. But, you know, and we've seen this time and again, the effect it has on young kids, especially young girls and just young people in general that get bombarded with all this shit. And, you know, I think we all see that things like Instagram or TikTok, they can all be funhouse mirrors where people are just merely showing you this very manicured version of the reality they want to present to others without it necessarily being the most authentic. Well, there's a new study that is also showing that aside from making you feel like shit about how you look, social media is making half of millennials and Gen Z feel like shit about their financial situation. These are just some of the top line findings from the survey that was done. It said nearly half of Gen Z, 47%, and millennials, 46%, social media users feel negatively about their finances after seeing others post more than any other generation. More than 3 in 5 of parents whose children are under 18 and are on social media say it has contributed to their kids having an unrealistic expectation about money. Nearly half of social media users have made an impulse purchase of a product they saw on social media, and more than 3/5 regret it, because they also tie the impulse buying to like sort of the lifestyle shit they're seeing and then being like, oh, maybe if I buy this, it gets me one closer to this thing. And then they also said nearly half of, or 46% of Gen Z and more than a third, or 38% of millennials, make social media posts intentionally to appear successful in the eyes of others.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you post on social media if you weren't trying to appear successful?
Because that's
number one.
Hello, not you don't just know how to use it.
That's the whole point.
It's trying to be real and bump people out? No.
Absolutely not.
But this is kind of like the thing, right? Like, I definitely went through this 10 years ago. Like, I switched careers. I was trying to get into comedy. I'm like a millennial with like living at home with my mom. And I'm looking on Instagram and like I see kids my age or people my age. I say kids, like I was in my mid-20s. But like young adults my age, they got jobs, they got like new cars, they live in a nice apartment. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Like,
also, though, real talk, the people that are like, we live in a house and it's huge and has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths and we have all this land. It's like, but you don't live in L.A.
Right. That's a whole other thing, too. 100%.
You don't live in L.A. and you don't live in New York. So what? That mortgage is $400 a month?
Yeah, but I think like it just does this thing, right? Like this is through, you know, therapy and like a lot of self-reflection, right? Is like that comparative way of living and like trying to, you know, value or adjudicate your worth is so fucking violent.
Yeah.
And it's such an act of like aggression against yourself, because you're not the thing that like I feel like everybody has to take that first step to realize we're everybody's fucking different. Everybody is different. Even though there's a ton of people and people may look different and like have the same interests, we all have different circumstances. We all move through life in different ways, and we all end up, we may end up in the same place, but we take vastly different paths there. And then to completely negate what your experience is in service of being like, well, this person's path worked like that and it was very linear, why isn't mine? And using that to beat yourself up is fucked up. And I used to do that shit all the time. So I look at this and I'm like, I can 100% see how even more, especially as we get older, and the evidence of like the financial distress that our generations are under become clear, that this becomes like this new thing too. It's not just how you look. It's like, oh, you fucking broke too.
We're all in an echo chamber between social media impulse buys and then like mainstream media articles telling us that the impulse buys are the reason that our generation doesn't have shit. But
why aren't millennials buying diamonds? It's like, oh, they're buying too much avocado toast. It's, did you know that millennials killed the chain restaurant? It's like, which is it? Are we broke as fuck, or are we just trying to survive, or are we just spending money on dumb shit?
Like, and it's also like the form of capitalism that we're in at this point is, you know, the reason like there are massive companies that are buying all the houses up, and like it's impossible for individuals to like really, going forward, it's going to be almost impossible for people to like own a family home.
Straight up, my sister right now is like, you know, she lives in LA and she's worked really hard, and my family is helping her, but she's like trying to buy a house, and literally anything that is even remotely affordable for her, you know, is like immediately scooped up by a flipper. And it's like, these are not extravagant, you know what I mean, talking about 2-bedroom, 1-bath, like a small, very like a fixer upper
starter home,
anything that is remotely like reasonable for like a young person who just wants to start off like immediately just like swooped up by the company that's going to flip it and just charge crazy amounts of money for it.
It's like, I have cash and I'll pay 20% over.
Yeah, the like, people are paying crazy money for shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also like a Ponzi scheme happening where people spend money, lie about what their lifestyle is to mm-hmm. fund an unsustainable lifestyle that they're hoping then becomes sustainable by like them becoming an influencer and getting free shit and then like, you know, growing it from there, which sometimes like very, very rarely it works and you become a Kardashian. But like for the most part, that shit doesn't work, but it does fund that central lie that, you know, when one influencer or like wannabe influencer goes bust, like there's 1,000 other ones trying to like, you know, mm-hmm. there to just come up right behind them. And we don't like follow them all the way down, you know?
Yeah, I feel like there were like a series of articles about how like aspiring influencers basically pretend to be influencers and use like the same hashtags as like real influencers that are getting sponsored content, mm-hmm. you know? So that the brands think that they're on the same level, but it's like right. they're actually buying the product, not getting it gifted.
Right.
It's just real big loss leader. You know what I mean? If that's your plan.
They're like, yeah. Like I bought this $3,000 computer and pretended I got it for free. It's like, why? Because then I get more followers and then I might get this computer for free. It's like, but you already bought it.
Yeah.
I'll just flip the other one. I think it again, it just for young people too, like you're saying, it just sets off this like, I got to keep up with whatever, like the pace of culture right now. And if everybody looks like this and if somehow everybody is, you know, in impossible houses and cars and like flying first class and shit, like it completely does your head in. You have no idea what's real. But more than that, I think the hard part is for a young person to divorce themselves from that perceived reality. Like like this is how life's moving, because it's not.
Well,
nobody's
yeah,
living
I mean, you-
like that.
You even have like, remember Lil Bow Wow posting about to take off and he has that picture of the private jet and then someone's just straight up caught him in coach economy on a Southwest flight. Like, but I think a lot of that is like, you know, just with media right now, TikTok, Instagram, all of that, that's where we're getting like all of our celebrity news, our celebrity gossip, like real people are becoming celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's you're getting quote unquote influenced by your peers versus the celebrities you see on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, these people are relatable to me. And now they're the ones that are creating the demand for like these. For this unsustainable lifestyle versus I think, you know, in like the 2000s and the 90s, it was very much like MTV and, you know, celebrity tabloids.
Yeah. And it's like the difference being like when I was 16, the only people I knew who were like doing shit big out of high school were like Kobe Bryant, Jermaine O'Neal and maybe LeBron James. And like I was like, yo, those 16 year like those are the most lit 16-year-olds on earth kind of shit. And I'm like, and I was secure in knowing like, I don't know. Yeah. Everybody just kind of goes to school or does whatever and just kind of figures it out. But with social media, like you have all these examples to be like, I'm 9 and I got fucking $3 billion in liquid fucking like I'm liquid 3 billion. This is how I got there. And you have all these weird examples for people to sort of like latch onto that. I think also like because of the specificity of it, create more very specific expectations for somebody too. And I think that was potentially the benefit of not having as much, you know, not being inundated with influencer culture in my teen years, because it was like you'd get it from like you're saying, like you'd have to watch BET or MTV and look in like 5 different magazines and that's how you ever engaged with like pop culture, whereas now it can hit you fucking everywhere and with hyper specificity.
Have you guys seen that guy on TikTok that basically shows you how to be like a slumlord?
Yeah. Or I've seen that.
But you know who I'm talking about. He's like building this insane like house with like multiple like hot tubs. And it's just like, this is not real. Like, this is insane. Like, people believe this guy.
Wait, what? So he's like a lifestyle influencer, but like the way he's funding his lifestyle is by being a slumlord?
basically, he's like a realtor. He owns multiple properties, has like income properties, but like, it's just all very shady and weird. Like, he's basically looking for like people who are about to get foreclosed on.
Yeah.
Kick
him
out.
This is what you do. Yeah. Go to your like local county website and look for distressed properties. It's like that kind of shit. Then you show up, you make an offer, blah, 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 blah. And now you're fucking slumlord. And this is my Lambo.
Yeah, 100%.
That's like this pattern that's shown, like the Lambo is like this other thing that's now just become shorthand for like, are you balling? Do you have a Lambo? And are you doing, and how are you getting to Lambo? Are you doing that because you're a Twitch god gaming? Are you a landlord? Are you, you know, a dancer? I don't know. Like, there's all kinds of ways there, but I feel like it's completely robbed people of the idea that they're actually uniquely individual. And I think that's like the really insidious part about all of it.
How are you get to Lambo? That is my question to everybody I meet. Yeah, that's so interesting. The idea that like so much of this shit is funded by like the Nobel Prize is named after a family that like made their fortune making TNT that like blew people up in the first
they
World
were like
War.
The Sacklers before the Sacklers.
Yeah.
It's all like, they're like, it's just they're like, y'all feel bad about opioids.
But that's like, it feels so much like there's a very dark system that we've put this social media sheen on top of. And like the social media sheen is like designed to lie to us and like put a fake version of reality out there that like, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, it's lying to make you think it's like prettier than it is, but it's also lying because we don't want to know what the reality is. Cause
reality
it's
is dark
so
right
dark.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. It is. I mean, honestly, I do kind of love, I love like, interior design TikTok and shit like that. You know, I mean, it's a fantasy. Am I ever going to do it? No.
Sure. But I think it's like different than like.
And absolutely not. We'll never pull the plug. My house will always look like I just moved in.
Oh, yeah.
The like we'll buy your house for cash signs on the signposts around LA. Like they're, you know, they're just looking for people who are in a desperate enough way or in like drug addiction or, you know, like just trying to like that. When they did a study of like billionaires, like the really, really rich, like the people who've succeeded the most at capitalism in the United States over the past like 40 years, it's always predators. It's always people who are preying on somebody who is in a worse position than them and then just hitting that button over and over and over again until they're, you know, extremely wealthy. Like that's just how capitalism in the U.S. works. And then we tell ourselves a fancy, pretty story on social media.
Yeah.
But it's
like,
dark,
I started,
man.
My company with 3 VHS tapes. It's like, no, fool.
I worked really hard. I didn't give up. I always believed in myself.
Yeah. I just only got like 400 grand in like seed money from my grandpa. Okay, back up.
Right.
I did it all on my own.
What do you mean? But like, your grandpa's money. Yeah, but it was my grandpa. So...
But they could, I mean, the social media aspect of it all is like those billionaires could write the like true story of how I did this. And it would be like, I hired like 10 really smart people. Here's a profile of those really smart people. They made like a bunch of really great decisions for us. And then we found these businesses that were really struggling and just fucking rinsed the fuck out of them in like a billion business transactions in a row. And nobody would buy that. And so like the publishing house, even if you turned in the honest billionaire's memoir to the publishing house, you wouldn't get it published, or you would and nobody would read it. So you
be the Wolf of Wall Street version of business. It's like, oh, that's a fantasy. They weren't that crazy. They didn't really do all those things.
Well, and the only reason we got to read the Wolf of Wall Street like version of it is because Martin Scorsese like told it as like a stylized tale where we got to like view it from inside the drug-addled mind of this person who like thought they were, you know, could fly,
had their shit
basically.
Together.
A golden god.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, I took a bunch of Quaaludes. I can get out of my Lambo or whatever he had and just fucking snail slug my way out of the car.
It's not even just having a Lambo. It's like having a Lambo and not even being able to drive it. Like that not having so a license. Like I have so much that I can just own this as a decorative piece.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because we have, again, like, I think because of social media, too, like, are like the, you know, language of status symbols and like semiotics and things are like Lambo equals this, ice grill equals this, Louis Vuitton bag equals this. And like, we have all this shorthand for like, well, if you accumulate these items, then by definition, you are this person. But we have so much, like, in my youth, I chased after so many material things because I was like, if I accumulate these things, then I will be successful because successful people have these things. And I completely had the process backwards.
Have you guys seen Snowflake Mountain on Netflix?
I watched the first two episodes and I was like, okay, had enough.
But yeah. Okay, but like, when they cried, because the title is really stupid.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But these little bratty ass Gen Zs like bring all their like designer, you know, their Louis V's, their Gucci, their whatever, all of that. And they get to this mountain, this desolate ass, like sad ass, dirty ass mountain. And the producers take all of their luggage and blow it up in front of them. And the actual tears that start falling down their faces, I could just eat that up like every day, all day, every day. But
in a way, you're like, oh, they're victims of
their own. It feeds me. Those tears fed me. But it is also really sad where it's like, y'all are just like literally children. And you are so obsessed with this shit. Like none of this means anything. Yeah. This does not give you a personality.
Yeah,
this
is don't not be like you, me.
Like, once you're stripped of that, who are you?
Right. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get these sneakers because they just came out. And then I'm like, I have no car insurance or a active cell phone this month. And then I'm like, whoops.
Oops. But you're flying.
Yeah, but I'm flying. And you know what? Nobody looking this good on the bus.
Wow. You're like, I'm going to be the best looking dude on this bus.
I'm like, yeah, hello. And they're like, we're sorry, but due to a non-payment, you're lying. I'm like, just shut up really quick. Okay. Well, I shouldn't have took that call. But,
you're fired.
Oh, you didn't hear me? You're fired. All
right. AT&T. Danielle, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Diva Deluxe. No E at the end. And watch me on the latest season of Curb and the latest season of Russian Doll.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh my God. I am really obsessed with Bennifer getting married.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking J-Lo in a bed, sans makeup, sans farts.
Yeah.
Bravery, number one. Very brave.
Mm-hmm.
Was she 53, just showing off her wedding ring. I'm a millennial. Bennifer was the height of everything we wanted. We all wanted pink diamonds.
Right. Exactly. Right. The pink lemonade iced out. Yep.
Right. And it's really cute to see them happy and married. And
we all wanted light blue frames that had a little like crystallized heart in the bottom corner. You know what I mean?
It was low rise white jeans, bandanas around your head, mm-hmm. and little iced out Swarovski crystal sunglasses.
Boom.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, the show we do with the NBA. And also, if you like weed and 90 Day, check out my other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. Some tweets that I like. Oh, man, there's some good ones. This one. Okay, so this is from Mimi from the band Michetti, M-I-C-H-E-T-E. It's at Michetti. And it says in parentheses, Bjork at McDonald's. I have McGriddle. I just love the way it's spelled, McGriddle. I can't stop thinking about it. So I have another one. John Lee Lofton Jr. at John Lee Draw says, I don't think people realize how much one of the key survival strategies of hot weather cultures is to do nothing, which is so true. Embrace that shit. And then last one, Jared Mark Smith at Jared in the Trees tweeted, how late are you going to be there? Is New York for I'm not coming. Hey, how late y'all gonna be there? That's, I think that's LA also. How late are you gonna be there? That's,
I texted that to so many people. Right. It's very LA.
Yeah,
how late you gonna be
it
there?
Might be universal, actually. I think this is everyone's. Hey, how late you gonna be there? Oh, okay, because I see I was gonna be available right after that. So yeah, okay, I'm not gonna make it. Yeah.
Let's see some tweets I've been enjoying. Hercules tweeted, if you go into McDonald's and say Uber Eats, they give you free food.
True.
Yeah. And then John Drake tweeted, at Drake Gatsby tweeted, people love to hate on Mondays, but Tuesdays? Also bad. Wednesdays, no prize either.
Mm. Damn.
And then Roy Wood Jr., okay, good idea. He said President Biden has ordered all bodegas to fly the flag at half staff this week out of respect.
Yeah.
RIP to bodega
the brand. The brand was strong.
The brand was strong. We talked yesterday or 2 days ago about how the podcast is going away, and now too the show.
Yeah. Well, the art has not been happening since November, and I feel like every week I'd be like, maybe. No,
maybe this week
there was someone else tweeted. It said, you know, the universe is always, you know, has a ledger, and we got Bennifer, but Jesus and Meryl had to go.
And it's always Bronx people, right?
Yeah,
the Bronx
giveth, the Bronx taketh away.
Yeah.
Can I share another one?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
you guys did multiple. Okay, yeah, have you guys seen Paris Nicholson? He's on like. He's on Instagram and TikTok.
Hottest birds.
Oh,
Hottest birds. Five hottest birds. I am obsessed.
That is
with
my favorite
video
I've seen in a long time.
It
I was raving about
so
it last
joy.
Week. Thank you so much for pointing that out, because I was raving about it last week and everyone's like, okay, old man.
No.
Being like, hey, look at thing I saw on the TikToks. So it's good. Okay.
It's very good.
Face. Everyone. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien and on that other podcast, Miles and Jack, I'm at Boosties. Hey. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles.
Yes.
What song do you think people might enjoy?
Oh man, this is a new artist I was listening to. I just got put on to, named Priya Raghu, and she's an artist from the UK, the BBC. They're like, yo, this shit is dope. She had a mixtape called Damn She's Tamil, that everyone was like, yo, this shit is dope. And this track is called Santa Sam, and it's a bonus track off the album. And it's just got the vibes. Her brother like helps produce the tracks, so. You know, if you're feeling it, if you need some world vibes, but like that feels like it's going between like ethnic music and R&B with like just dope rhythms and production. It's just like, it's dope when you really hear like music that feels like it's someone is like at the precipice of like a generational exchange of like two art forms. And I think it's cool when you hear music like that. So this is Priya Raghu with Santa Sam.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.